We have senior chanters here. Let me come forward to chant. Senior chanters, all of us, let us chant. Blessed is he. Blessed are you, O Christ, our God, who revealed the fishermen to be all wise, sending down upon them the Holy Spirit. And please be seated. Be seated so we can begin. Most reverend and beloved brethren, the day before yesterday, we spoke on the subject of phenomena of demonic possession. Yesterday, we spoke on the subject of spiritualism. And today, we will speak on the subject of magic. There are magicians and witches. What are magicians and witches? Just as the saints are instruments of God, and by the power of God, the saints work miracles. So magicians are instruments of Satan, conscious instruments of Satan, and not by the power of God, but by the power of Satan. They too perform miracles. There are miracles from God, and there are miracles from Satan. And when the Antichrist comes with the power of Satan, he will perform the greatest satanic miracles, wonders, and signs, as the Apostle Paul says. A magician can see you for the first time and speak to you by your name. He can reveal secrets of your life, things of the present and things of the past, but not things of the future. He can reveal your sins to you if you have not confessed them. A magician can bring upon you one or more evils, one or more calamities. He can disturb the whole world of your soul. He can make you become demon-possessed. He can also cause illness in you. Indeed, he can cause such an illness that medical science cannot identify it. He can make you wither like a tree, like a flower, and suffer a wasting away. He can make you melt away like wax. He can even cause blindness and death. A magician can make people commit suicide in groups. In recent times, it has happened that Satanists have caused mass suicides among people. This satanic phenomenon happened only a few days ago. 48 people committed suicide in Switzerland, and at the same time, 4 here in Canada. In Canada, through magic, a magician can break up married couples, break off betrothals, or bring about unlawful betrothals, unlawful marriages. I know a young woman who had every gift, beauty, education, intelligence, and ability. And because of magic, as the late father, Iacovus Salicus, confirmed, because of magic, she fell in love with a man more than twice her age, a barbarous and dreadful man, an unbeliever, an atheist, utterly uncivilized, living like a cave dweller in 20th century Greece. Everyone wondered how this young woman could love such a man. He used magic to make the young woman love him. Magicians have made people unable to find any rest and made them commit terrible, immoral acts under the influence of magicians. With their magic, magicians can break apart entire families, uproot them from their foundations. Magicians and witches can slaughter their own children and offer them as a sacrifice to Satan. Such things happen in the pre-Christian pagan world. They happen even today. In the 20th century, as the late Father Cosmas Gregoriadis, a missionary who left his bones in Zaire, a contemporary saint, used to tell me, fearful magical things happen in Africa. Magicians slaughter children, take their blood, inject it with a syringe into reeds, mount the reeds, and rise up into the heights. Sometimes they land safely, other times they fall from the heights and are killed. These things sound like fairy tales, and yet they are realities. Magicians who practice black magic put people to death, and other magicians who practice white magic for revenge put to death those who killed the first people. Father Cosmas saw and verified personally such fearful, magical, satanic phenomena in Africa. Africa, he told me, is under demonic domination. The people are ruled by fear of magicians and demons. Crimes caused by magic reach the courts. The judges condemn the crimes, and then they give orders that the sentences against the magicians not be carried out, because they themselves are afraid of the magicians, sorcerers. Are there many magicians in the world? There are many, my brothers, especially in Asia, and particularly in India and in Africa. The number of magicians is also considerable in other countries in supposedly civilized America, in supposedly civilized Europe, and also in Greece, which was the heart of Christianity and is the heart of Orthodoxy. In Greece, there are more than 100,000 magicians, and many people go to magicians. Sadly, many go to magicians, even educated and distorted people, and rulers of Greece, who go on pilgrimages and at the same time have magicians at their side and consult them. The names of magicians consulted by the great rulers of our homeland have been published. What progress could the homeland have seen from rulers who consult magicians who seek the help of Satan? In rare cases, one also meets magician clergy. Clergy who are magicians, yes, my brothers. Thankfully, the cases are rare, very rare. But clergy who are magicians really do exist. I, at least, know specific cases of clergy who at the same time are magicians. They do the dark works of the magic of Satan, and they deceive many. It is a great evil for someone to be a magician. An exceedingly great evil when someone cooperates with Satan, when he becomes a collaborator of Satan, the great adversary of God and of men. Do we even need to ask? If it is a great evil, the Old Testament condemns magicians to death. I know a person who did magical things and became demonized in that person's house. I also saw the little bottle with theophany, holy water. It had become worm-infested and stank, because grace had departed from the holy water. The agiasmos, the blessing of water, does not change, does not spoil. John Chrysostom himself says this, the greatest father and teacher of the church, this water remains uncorrupted and fresh for so long a time. That is, this water of the agiasmos, even if much time passes, stays unaltered and new fresh, because it has the grace of God within it. But in the house of the magician, grace departed from the agiasmos, and the agiasmos became worm infested and stank. One day, after a sermon in Athens, three or four people came up to me. What is happening? I asked them. We've just come from a funeral, they told me, and we saw a horrifying thing. We wanted you to tell us your thoughts about it. What happened? I asked them. An old woman had died in Metamorphosi over in Kukuval. And from the moment she died, her face and her whole body turned pitch black, like a priest's cassock. No one could bear to look at her, so they covered her. What is your opinion about this? They asked me. In a flash, the thought of magic passed through my mind. I said, was she perhaps involved with satanic things? She was a witch, they told me. God allowed her to turn black so that it would be made plain that the sorcerer is black and hideous, just like Satan. It is a fearful thing for someone to be a magician. He will go down to the deepest depths of hell in the company of the devil. Beside the devil, not higher than the devil, beside the devil, because he is a co-worker of the devil, because he denied Christ and attached himself to the devil. But the sin is also great for the person who runs to magicians and witches to ask about unknown things or to seek help. If someone runs to magicians, to witches, he denies Christ and worships Satan, and he too will be plunged into the lake of the apocalypse, burning with fire and brimstone into hell. Every sin is an evil thing, and great sins are great evils. But to run to Satan and seek information and help from Satan, this is a much greater evil. It is, I repeat, a denial of Christ and the worship of Satan. Some do not appear as magicians, they are magicians, but they appear as instruments of God, as good people, as believers, as pious people, as people who supposedly have a gift from God to perform signs and to help others. And if the magician is also clergy, he appears completely as an instrument of God and as a holy man. How, my brethren, shall we discern the magician from the man of God in those cases where the magician is pretending and presents himself as a man of God, as a wonder worker with miracle working power from God? It is not always easy to distinguish the magician from the man of God. Why is it not always easy? Because, as the Apostle Paul says, Satan transforms himself into an angel of light. Satan does not always appear hideous as he is, dark as he is, repulsive as he is. Many times he changes his form and appears as a radiant angel of light. Shining, he can present himself as Christ Jesus, as the archangel Michael, as the most holy Theotokos, as Paul, as Peter, as St. Demetrios, as St. George. There are satanic persons who can deceive people because they make use of sacred objects, icons. Even icons that can give off fragrance and stream myrrh by the power of Satan. But I told you yesterday what a spiritualist was telling me, a woman who supposedly had me as her disciple 300 years ago. She says, I paint icons of Christ, and they stream myrrh and give off fragrance. Satan is transformed not only into an angel of light, but even into fragrance. I also told you about a girl of 13 or 14 who became demon-possessed and from whose feet myrrh was flowing. A spiritual father told me of another fearful case. A woman, every time she stood at night before the icon corner and prayed, was bathed in waves of fragrance coming from the icon corner. She was tickled by the thought that the grace of God was flooding her. She mentioned the phenomenon to her spiritual father, and her spiritual father said to her, "My child, the fragrance may be from God, but it is not impossible that it is from Satan. I will read a prayer to see whether the phenomenon continues." He read the prayer, and the fragrance never came again from the icon corner. And instead of this Christian woman being glad because the deception of Satan had been revealed, and she had been saved from the proud idea that she had supposedly reached heights of holiness and that the grace of God was flooding her, instead of rejoicing and thanking God that the delusion had been exposed, she became angry with the priest. "What is this you did, Father? With that prayer you read, you deprived me of that heavenly fragrance." The priest had landed himself in trouble with this poor Christian woman, whom the devil was flattering into thinking she had reached the heights of holiness and that the grace of God was washing over her. Satanic figures that put on an obvious show of wonder work in use, not only icons, but crosses and prayer ropes as well. The so-called illuminated women who see in 1 hour more visions than Isaiah saw in his whole life, who constantly see Christ and the most holy Theotokos and the angels and the saints and hear voices and receive messages and write writings and speak foreign languages and burst out into heavenly melodies and make revelations, have crosses and prayer ropes in their hands. Magicians are so shameless that my brothers do not be horrified. Spiritual fathers have told me this. They are so godless, so satanic, that there are cases where magicians approached the cup of life and received Holy Communion and did not swallow it. They left, went away from the church, and took Holy Communion out of their mouths in order to use it for magical purposes. And the Lord, of course, suffers nothing. A ray of the sun, whether it falls on flowers or on filth, is not defiled. And the Lord is a mystery. Holy Communion is the most supernatural mystery. Wherever it falls, it is not defiled. But the magician who is so godless as to use even Holy Communion for magical acts will be plunged into the Tartarus of Hades, into the depths of hell. The magician, in order to deceive people, may also present himself as someone who knows a person's thoughts. No one knows a person's thoughts except God alone. I am he who searches the reins and the hearts, says God in the Old Testament, and Christ in the New Testament. Only God knows the heart. Only Christ knows a person's thoughts, the hidden depths of a person. And the magician, to give the impression that he is inspired by God, may say to someone, at this moment you are thinking this and this. And if the person has not studied these matters, he may collapse to the ground and say, God is here, and this is a man of God. How cunning Satan is. Satan does not know a person's thought, but he told the person, at this moment you are thinking this and this. Why? Because what that person is thinking at that moment is not his own thought, it is Satan's thought. Satan placed that thought inside the person. It is his own thought. And then he said, you are thinking this and this. He creates the impression that he knows people's thoughts, but these are not people's thoughts. He knows the thoughts which Satan himself has placed in the person's mind. Again, Satan often creates the impression that he knows the future. Only God knows the future. And the true prophet who is inspired by God, Satan does not know the future. And yet a satanic person, a magician, said, the airplane of such and such a flight will crash. The airplane took off, and a little later it crashed. Was the magician a prophet? Did he know the future? No, the devil knew of a defect inside the airplane's engine, and he calculated that the airplane would fall. He did not prophesy. He calculated that the airplane would fall because of the defect Satan had seen. That wicked craftsman inside the airplane. But to a naive person, he creates the impression that he knows the future. If the magician, the Satanist, happens to be a clergyman, as happens in rare, very rare, but also very terrible cases, he may work miracles both from Satan as a magician and from God as a clergyman. And someone could be led astray and say, this man is a saint. I repeat this because if a clergyman is a magician, he can perform both satanic and divine wonders, satanic ones by the power of Satan, as a magician, and divine ones by the power of holy orders, as a priest. What Christ says in Matthew 7:22 applies above all to clergymen, to unworthy clergymen, as Judas was. Lord, Lord, Christ said, many will say on the day of judgment, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons? And then I will declare to them, Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not cast out demons? Did we not work miracles? And the Lord will say to them, yes, my name is all powerful, but you are workers of lawlessness. Depart from me. It is a fearful thing for someone to work miracles by the power of God and yet be rejected by God and sent to eternal hell. To discern whether a person who presents himself as a person of God is not, in reality, a person of God, but an instrument of Satan, great care is needed. My brothers, very great care. Because, as we said, the devil is evil, cunning, the most evil and most cunning being, and the greatest schemer. We must examine certain basic things. If someone presents himself as a man of God and performs signs and wonders, we must first ask whether he has humility. If he does not have humility, he is not a man of God, or if through the signs he performs, he has a tendency to exalt himself in people's minds, to be regarded as a saint, then he is proud and he is not a man of God. If he performs certain signs merely to show that he is a miracle worker, great and important, he is from Satan. And if he gives commands and objects move about for no purpose and various objects break, this is from Satan, a satanic sign. Or if he is greedy for money and with fabricated words makes merchandise of people, speaking sweetly and flattering them in order to get money, he is from Satan. The books of the church say this, or if among the good words he says, he also says words contrary to the words of God and of the church. This is satanic. For example, if he says to a fornicator, Christ told me, the most holy Theotokos told me, to ordain you as a priest, this is certainly from Satan. Christ and the most holy Theotokos never say anything contrary to what Scripture says. A man who has impediments to holy orders cannot be ordained. Someone who is a fornicator, who has committed fornications. We must also examine the signs he performs. Are they serious signs? Do they have a beneficial purpose? If they have no purpose but are only a display of power, they are from Satan. If he speaks obscenely or commits obscene acts, he is from Satan. I once asked Elder Porphyrios about a person who performs signs. I said, is he from God, Elder, or from Satan? He said, we must examine his life. Does he have a moral life? Yes or no? I know a person in my homeland who lives in fornications and adulteries, and he has not repented. He has not changed his life yet. He has the audacity to preach the word of God. And while he is preaching, his face shines, and he gives off a fragrance. Satan is mocking people. Satan, who transforms himself into an angel of light. My brothers, our age is satanic. In our age, people have reached the point of officially founding a religion called Satan worship. They gather in satanic temples with satanic priests, and they worship Satan with human sacrifices and orgies, obscene acts, and sermons against Christ and in favor of Lucifer. Our age, the world of our age, is slipping back toward idolatry, toward ancient idolatry, and demon worship. There are even religious people who, in difficult hours of their life, have run to magicians, to witches, to mediums. For religious people, this is the saddest phenomenon. It is a fact, according to Scripture as well, that magicians perform signs by the power of Satan. Open the Old Testament, the second book, the book of Exodus, and read, Moses went to Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and asked him to set the Israelite people free so they could go to the land of the promise and worship God there. Pharaoh resisted and asked Moses for a sign. Then his brother Aaron threw his staff down to the ground, and the staff became a serpent, so that Pharaoh might see the miracle and set the people of Israel free to leave Egypt. But Pharaoh, a hard-hearted man, did not believe. He called the magicians of Egypt, and they opposed Moses and Aaron. They too threw down their rods, and the rods became snakes, just as Aaron's rod had become. But Aaron's rod, it says, swallowed up the rods of the magicians of Egypt. Aaron struck the river with his rod, and the waters became blood. The magicians struck the waters too, and likewise the waters became blood. Aaron struck the waters, and they brought forth a multitude of frogs. The magicians struck them too, and a multitude of frogs came out. Up to this point, the power of the magicians reached. Then Aaron struck the dust, and clouds of gnats came forth. The magician struck it too, but not even one gnat came out. Satan has limited power, and he works wonders only up to a certain point. Beyond that, he cannot work wonders. Satan has limited power, and he cannot use it except when God permits it. Remember, the demons in the country of the Gergesenes could not even enter the swine. They begged Christ and asked permission to enter the swine. One day during exorcisms, a demon was boasting through the mouth of a possessed man and saying, "I have power, I shake the world." The priest shouted at it, "You fool, what power do you have? You could not even enter the pigs without Christ's permission." If Satan performs certain signs, it is because God permits it for various reasons. If a person lives far from God, does not believe in God, takes no account of God, despises God, despises the Word of God, Holy Scripture, reads newspapers and magazines, listens to radio and television, but has no desire to open Holy Scripture and read the Word of God, goes to sinful places but does not go to the church, does not go to the hall where the sermon is preached. If he does not confess his sins to a spiritual father, if he does not receive Holy Communion, if he does not fight against his passions, if he does not repent for his sins, if he does not change his life, then God may permit the magician, by the power of Satan, to do him great harm, to punish him pedagogically, so that perhaps he may repent, or so that perhaps all the others may repent. When they see the calamity that has fallen upon this unrepentant and impious person, God uses even Satan for the good of man. A Christian of Corinth sinned, and his sin was dreadful. He sinned with his stepmother, a sin of incest. The Apostle Paul was horrified. And what did he do? He handed him over to Satan. He cut him off from the church, from the grace of God, handed him over to Satan. And he became demonized so that he would be tormented in the body by the demon, and perhaps repent and his spirit be saved. There were some heretics in the time of the Apostle Paul who were saying that the resurrection of the dead had already happened. What strange things heretics say, just as the so-called Jehovah. As witnesses say today, 144,000 elect, they say, have almost all been resurrected and gone to heaven. The graves are full of bones. And they tell us that the 144,000 have almost all been resurrected and gone to heaven. When the devil gets inside, 5 and 5 make 11, not 10. May God preserve us from the spirit of delusion. If a person is not humble, God permits a spirit of delusion to enter him. His inner world becomes distorted. You tell him the truth is completely obvious, and he does not accept it. What did Paul do to those heretics who were saying that the resurrection of the dead had already happened? What egoism people have, the apostles were still alive, and they would not accept what the apostles were saying. They had their own theories. No, the resurrection of the dead has already happened. Contrary to what Paul said, contrary to what Peter said, contrary to what John said, there are no spirits more proud than heretics. That is why Paul made a fearful decision. He handed them to, like the incestuous men of Corinth, over to Satan. That they may be taught not to blaspheme, he says, so that Satan would discipline them, torment them, and they would learn not to blaspheme, not to utter blasphemous theories that the resurrection of the dead had supposedly already happened. The resurrection of the dead will take place on the last day and at the last trumpet. We do not have a resurrection of the dead in installments, as the false witnesses of Jehovah say. Magic today troubles the world, not only simple people, but also the rulers of this world. Oh, how terrible it is to think that those who govern the nations and humanity consult magicians, that they consult Satan. That is why, my brothers, the Third World War will also come, the nuclear war. The devil is a great criminal. A demon was groaning in Athens and crying out, "Ah, I would have destroyed you. I would already have made the Third World War happen. But this Mary does not let me." Mary continually entreats her son, and she postpones the destruction. Many people, especially women, have the fear that magic has been worked against them. In many cases, it is not magic. Let us not blame everything on Satan. But in many cases, it truly is magic. Magicians are very strange types. They told me about a witch who, at night, at midnight, at the hour of the demon, would strip herself completely, naked as the day her mother bore her. She would climb a tall tree, lift up her hands toward the stars, and invoke Satan. Magicians use various objects for their spells: hairs, locks of hair, pins, bones, rue, black-handled knives, and other objects. And they throw them into houses, they say, and calamities fall upon those homes. Listen, my brothers, if someone is a Christian, not a Christian in name only, a Christian in essence, if he truly believes in Christ, if he is a conscious Christian, if he thinks of God and is moved by the name of God, or if he prays, because many have done away with prayer, these people are not Christians, they are unchristian, or if he goes to church regularly, or if he studies the Word of God, or if he follows Orthodox sermons, or if he reads spiritual Orthodox books, or if from time to time he confesses his sins to a spiritual father, or if he receives with longing and with fear the body and blood of Christ, or if he struggles against his passions, and one passion is the passion for filthy television, when a person sits there watching nakedness and indecency, the energy of Satan invades him. Satan himself can invade. Once I brought a soul to Elder Porfirios, her inner world had been disturbed, and she could not find peace. As soon as Elder Porfirios saw her, he said to her, "This happened to you one day while you were watching television. You watched a program on television." "Yes, Elder," she said, "pay attention to this," he said. She was watching a filthy program, and through the television screen, something came out and invaded this woman's soul. It was the energy of Satan, and she could not find peace. He blessed her. She became well, and afterwards she returned to her sinful and filthy life. Then she begged me to take her again to Elder Porfirios. I too became angry. Now I said, "Your knees will have to be worn through in prayer for the demon to leave. We cannot mock God. God is not mocked. We cannot be both with Christ and with the devil. We are either with the one or with the other. If then A person lives the spiritual life, the life of the Church of Christ and of grace, then demonic energy and a demon cannot invade that person. In Naphpaktos, my own homeland, when I was still a high school student, people spoke of the name of a terrifying witch. They called her Nawumina. They said she performed monstrous signs and wonders. An excellent hieromonk, Father Arsenios, struck her like lightning from the ambo, and she became enraged and shouted, "I will deal with this clergyman myself and make him wither. He will melt like wax. I will bring every calamity upon him." Father Arsenios was not afraid. He laughed. After some time, the Christian said to this witch, "You did nothing to Father Arsenios. Father Arsenios is perfectly well." What did the witch say? "I tried, but unfortunately, I could do nothing to him because he believes in Christ." Just as the magician Cyprian could not harm Saint Justina. But if a person does not live the spiritual life, he can suffer calamity from Satan. He and his family can suffer calamity. In that case, what must be done? Our church has special prayers against magic. It has prayers that dissolve spells. Why did the Son of God come into the world? To undo the works of the devil, to loose, overthrow, and dissolve the works of the devil, among which are spells. And if the person who has been caught by spells and is suffering repents sincerely, not saying, "All right, I will start going to church because I am forced to." No. God is not mocked. We cannot fool God. He must repent sincerely, cut off the serious sins, and fight even the smaller sins. He must groan over his sinfulness and his impiety. He must make a heroic decision to change his life. He must cast down his egoism at the feet of a representative of Christ, a priest. He must confess all his shameful deeds, receive the immaculate mysteries, pray, and fast. What did Christ say about a powerful demon? This kind of the devil does not come out except by prayer and fasting. The household and relatives must also help. If they love this person, they too must repent, they too must pray, they too must fast for the wretched human being tormented by the demon. The appropriate prayers of the church must be read, the exorcisms, once, twice, and more times if needed. And sooner or later, God will work his miracle when he sees real metanoia, true repentance, and he will free that person from the influence of Satan. Oh, my brothers, if there are people here who fear magic, these are the things they should do. There are some people tormented by the thought that spells have been cast on them. And it may truly be that spells have been cast on them, but it may also be that no spells have been cast on them, and that they have some suffering from another cause, not from magic. In such cases, so that souls may not be tormented, it is good for them to find a grace-filled father as well, such as Father Ephraim. And they should ask, "Father Ephraim, what do you say? I am tormented by the thought that perhaps spells have been cast on me." And he, if God illumines him, will say, "Spells have been done, or spells have not been done. You must do this or that." This is why God gives fathers, the grace-filled ones, to help people. We have underestimated the power of Satan. He too has power, and he has greater power than man. The angels, both the good angels and the evil angels, are greater in strength and power, superior in strength and power. One demon, if Christ allowed him, could with one kick, with one blow, shatter the earth or the sun. But Christ does not allow it, and that is why we must not be afraid. Christ came into the world and bound Satan Holy Scripture says, what does it mean that he bound Satan? Satan has no body, so that Christ would bind him with material chains. Scripture is speaking symbolically. Before Christ, my brothers, Satan was like a roaming lion, wandering here and there and devouring people. Imagine leaving the club and seeing a roaming lion in the street. May God preserve us. That is how Satan was before Christ. Christ bound him by his works, and especially by his sacrifice on the cross. It is as though he caught the lion and put it in a cage. Satan is no longer roaming free. He is confined inside the cage, and therefore he is harmless. But if you are foolish enough to open the door of the cage and go inside, then he will rightly tear you to pieces. This is what many people do by their unbelief, their impiety, and their lack of metanoia, their refusal to repent. They open the cage, they go inside, and the spiritual lion tears them apart. The roaring lion who seeks someone to devour, the devil and Satan, the great adversary of God and man, the great enemy. However much power we may imagine Satan has, Christ has incomparably greater power, infinitely greater power. And from his power, Christ gives strength to faithful people so that they may overcome Satan completely. I have heard demons with my own ears crying out, your leader, I tell you, he has power. From the time your leader was born and was crucified, I lost my power. I tell even you about the power, but you do not know your own power. Satan was saying these things. One faithful person overcomes whole ranks of demons. Anthony the Great overcame whole ranks of demons. If, my brothers, someone has not set himself right before God, has not become a conscious Christian, steady and faithful, as the will of God desires, and if he has not yet decided to enter the stream of Christianity and become a fighter, let him decide now. Otherwise, Satan will devour him. If he was far from God, and still worse, if he went to magicians, witches, mediums, fortune tellers, and the like, if he paid attention to omens and divinations, let him be crushed in spirit. Let him come to a spiritual father. Confess this sin as his first sin. And from now on, with fear and trembling, as the Apostle Paul says, let him work out his salvation. Let him struggle for his salvation. Whoever struggles, my brothers, on the day of judgment, what am I saying? On the day of death, what am I saying? From now, from the very moment he makes the heroic decision to struggle, that person has beside him an advocate, a fellow defender, a helper, a protector, Christ himself. And one person together with Christ is an overwhelming majority against all the armies of demons. How many demons are there? We do not know their number. Are they millions? Are they billions? However many they are. One person together with Christ is an overwhelming majority against all the dark powers, against all the armies of Satan. He conquers, he crushes the world of demons, and he is revealed as victor and trophy bearer. And on the day of judgment, he will sit upon the throne of Christ, just as Christ conquered and sat upon the throne of the Father. To Christ, the conqueror of the world, the conqueror of the demons, to Christ, the defender of the faithful, belong power, glory, honor, worship, and the kingdom unto the endless ages. Amen. 15 minutes for questions. Varian. One soul asks, how did God fashion man, and whether the theory of evolution is true or not? God fashioned man by a special creative energy, not as he created the other beings, but because man is the crown of creation, the viceroy of creation. He fashioned him by a special creative energy, as Holy Scripture says, in the most vivid way. And man is in the image and likeness of God, a little God. He is not a beast. that evolved and reached his present state. No, from the beginning, man was man, a rational being who walks upright. Not what the one from Australia says. Listen to what the one from Australia says. I heard a short address he gave one posh on Australian television. Listen and shudder and see a satanic speech from an archbishop. The meaning of the resurrection of Christ, he says, is very deep. And what is the meaning? Let him say what the meaning is. He says that man biologically surpassed the other animals. That is, that man too is an animal, but biologically he surpassed the other animals because from the horizontal posture of the body, he reached the upright posture and became Homo erectus, the upright man. In other words, we were animals and walked on all fours, and then we stood up on our feet and became upright walking. This, according to the mind of the one from Australia, is the meaning of the resurrection of Christ. I denounce these blasphemies with all my soul, and for this reason I consider the excommunication an honor and a joy. And from the time they excommunicated me, wherever I go and speak, I have a larger audience. Open the Gospel of Luke, chapter 6, verses 22 to 23. What does Christ say there? Blessed are you when men excommunicate you for my name's sake. Rejoice, leap, jump for joy. Great is your reward. He says, Christ says these things. Why don't you write these things down in your notes? They must be sitting right now, he says, in their thoughts. Why would God allow someone who is demon-possessed to streamer? After all, Satan is filth and stench. He allows it so that you may have humility, so that you ask, examine things, and listen to those who have a certain expertise, so they may enlighten you. That is why he allows it. So then, Satan is a foul stench, but he also becomes fragrance, just as he is darkness, but also becomes light, an angel of light. So have the humility to ask. When your little body hurts, you go to the doctor, you ask. And whatever the doctor says, you listen to it and keep it with religious reverence. When the matters are spiritual, you will go to a good priest, a good hierarch, a good theologian, and ask. You will ask a good spiritual father of recognized authority so that he may enlighten you. And you will read the books of the church, so that you do not fall victim to Satan's delusion. That is how it is. It says, what does it say here? Tell us again about men who commit adultery, whether they are dangerous. Adultery is among the greatest sins. The strictest canons of the church, the ancient canons, punish adultery with abstention from Holy Communion for many years, for 20 years, fornication for 7 years. Adultery for 20 years. It is another matter now that spiritual fathers have become lenient. There are also ancient canons that are more lenient. If someone sincerely makes metanoia, repents, all right, the spiritual father will show leniency if he changes his life. Another question. In Greece, our rulers who consult even magicians in order to govern the homeland. Is this why everything goes Israel's way? Is this why both friends and enemies are against us and in favor of the gypsy Skopjans and in favor of the barefoot Albanians and in favor of the barbarian Turks? So, in Greece, our rulers, our so-called fathers of the nation, the Masonic Amoralists, made a law and decriminalized adultery. Adultery, they say, is not something evil. It is a refreshment. Does anyone remember Job, who says that man drinks sin like a drink, like a refreshment? The decriminalization of adultery. I was saying something like this today. The greatest sin is not that people sin. The greatest sin is that they no longer consider sin to be sin. Instead, they even consider it a good thing. It is bad, very bad, to sin, to fornicate, to commit adultery, to be defiled. But to say that these things are not sin, it is an even greater sin. This is the chief sin of our age. Evil is granted amnesty. It is considered good. It is advertised through every means of publicity. It is made official. It is legalized. The beast, as the apocalypse says, is crowned. All right, do not mention names. I want the atmosphere to remain clean. So, you should know this. I am not moved by politicians, neither by one side nor by the other. They have all proved to be worldly. The church matter was not solved by those before, nor by those today, because they all serve expediencies and dark powers. Anything else? Another question? Any other question? Go ahead, the evil eye being struck by the eye. The evil eye, yes, the evil eye also exists. It is a reality. Envious people can do great harm. My father used to tell me that once a wedding party was going from one village to another, and on the road they sat down under a great plane tree to eat. Among them was a man with the evil eye, an envious man, a satanic man. The plane tree was enormous. He looked at it, admired it, and said, "Ah, if only I had that plane tree in the courtyard of my house." Crack, it split in two. The people ran to save themselves so they would not be crushed by the tree. Another time, my father told me he had bought two young work animals, two young oxen, to plow the field in the village. They did not have machines then as they do today. And an envious man there in the village, a satanic man, admired those work animals and said, "Ah, Yana," he said, "if only I too had two work animals like that." Instantly, they broke the yoke, spun around, and one of them dropped dead instantly. So the church has prayers against the evil eye. Whatever we need, we shall attain it in the church, in the ark of grace, in the workshop of holiness and salvation. Satan cannot do good. Sometimes it appears that he does some good, that he withdraws and so on. And then he comes back more fiercely afterward. Well, that is the sort of thing that happened with that man who became demon-possessed and began to stink. And even the azimos, the blessing of water, stank because grace had departed. No, I went to Australia and frightened parents said to me, "Our child sees satanic things, figures, he hears knocks and whistles, he is troubled. He cannot sleep. He cannot find peace. Come," they said, "and counsel the child." I said, "All right." And I went. I saw the child. He confessed that these things were happening, very satanic things, inside his house and in his room. I said, "What did you do to deal with these satanic things?" "I went," he said, "to someone from China, a Chinese man. There are many Chinese people in Australia, and he made me an amulet." I said, "What is this Chinese man? Is he a Christian?" "I do not think so," he said. "He went to a non-Christian." "And what is inside the amulet?" "I do not know," he said. I said, "Did you pay for it?" $1,000, he told me. "I know other foolish people who paid magicians millions, other foolish people, millions. A woman with cancer there in Adelaide, her sister, a good and faithful Christian woman from Australia, called me and said, 'Go to my sister and counsel her. She has fallen ill. She has cancer.' And a magician, cancer, and a magician promised her that he would make her well. And she kept giving money. She had already given 1 or 2 million, as she said, up to that point, and he would say to her, 'Do not be afraid, you will get well. If you do not get well, the money will be returned to you,' meaning if you die, they will return it to you." See, where foolishness leads people who refuse to walk by the pure gospel, Here's another example, organ transplants. I myself am in favor of transplantation. A man is about to die because of his kidneys. Someone gives him a kidney and the man lives. Why is that bad? It is good. Christ gave us his whole body. Take my body and drink my blood and believe, and you will be divinized. It is not bad. This too is philanthropy. Go ahead. A donkey wedding, a civil wedding, is what atheists do. Those who believe enter the mystery of the church. I think I told you another time an anecdote.